Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. And I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speak. Praise God. Let us. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. The Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come your glory, God, is
Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Amen. Now it's time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, I Am Ever So Near You. Praise be to God. My scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalms chapter 139, verses 1 through 2. And it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Praise be to God. My second scripture reading is coming from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And it says, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Praise be to God. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalms 37, verse 4, and it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. Again, the title, I Am Ever So Near You, hovering over your shoulders, reading every thought. People think that thoughts are fleeting and worthless, but yours are precious to me. I smile when you think lovely things, lovingly of me. My spirit, who lives within you, helps you to think my thoughts as your thinking goes. So goes your entire being. Let me be your positive focus. When you look to me, knowing me as God with you, you experience joy. This is according to my ancient design. When I first crafted man, modern man seeks his focus everywhere. In sports, sensation, acquiring new possessions, advertising, capitalizing on the longing of people for a positive focus in their lives. I planted that longing in human souls, knowing that only I could fully satisfy it. Design, delight yourself in me. Let me become the desire of your heart. I pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is unto me. Praise be to God. So at this time, I'd like to play another selection. First, we want to say good morning to Father God. Amen.
Thank you. God. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Wave your hands in the air, give us a praise. Let the anointing have its way. Call on Jesus' name. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. So awesome. Jesus, I'm a ring God.
God, everybody, bless the Lord. He's a sovereign God. Okay. My scripture for this morning is coming from Luke chapter 23, and we're going to read verses 27 through 38. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Amen. And it begins. A large crowd trailed behind, including many grief-stricken women. But Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For the days are coming when they will say, 'Fortunate indeed are the women who are childless, the wombs that have not borne a child, and the breasts that have never nursed. People will beg the mountains, fall on us, and plead with the hills, bury us. For if these things are done when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?'" Verse 32, Jesus is placed on the cross. "Two others, both criminals, were led out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing.' And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. The crowd watched, and the leaders scoffed. 'He saved others,' they said. 'Let him save himself if he is really God's Messiah, the chosen one.' The soldiers mocked him, too, by offering him a drink of sour wine. They called out to him, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' A sign was fastened above him with these words, "This is the King of the Jews." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise be to God. A man who was not able to speak was once asked to define forgiveness. He took a pencil and wrote, "It is the beautiful fragrance of a flower yields when trampled upon." This is what an unknown poet had in mind when he or she wrote the following: "The sandal tree perfumes when ripened. The axe that laid it low. Let man who hopes to be forgiven forgive and bless his foe." Words are like windows. They let us see into the speaker's mind and heart. The first recorded phrase that we have of Jesus from the cross is a prayer to his Father to forgive those who put him there. This first of the seven words from the cross shows us that the Savior knew what he was doing when he died on Calvary. Three of these sayings were addressed to God, and four to people. Though they were spoken at different times and for various purposes, there is an unmistakable unity. This first one, in a sense, was the foundation for the other six. For unless Jesus had possessed a forgiving spirit toward those who crucified him, he never could have been the world's Savior. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, honor, and praise, to give you all that you have given us. Lord God, we thank you for life. We thank you for health, strength, wisdom, and understanding. We thank you for watching over us last night while we slept and saw fit to wake us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for a roof over our head, food on our table, and clothes on our backs. We thank you for our children. We thank you for our husbands and wives and sisters and brothers, those in Christ and those who are not, Lord God. We thank you for everything that you are doing and everything that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for our neighbors. We even thank you for our enemies, Lord God. Now, Lord God, as I get ready to bring this message to your people this morning, I pray that you open up our minds, our hearts, and our eyes to see, hear, and perceive what thus says the Lord. Let your will be done in this word this morning, Lord God. Not my will, but your will be done. Bless our president, our vice president, and their families, Lord God. Bless those in authority, Lord God. Help them to make the right decisions for the country and for the people, Lord God. Let your will be done. Bless the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, Lord God. Bless the fivefold ministers. Bless House of the Lord Online Ministry. Bless House of Manessa Christian Ministry. Bless our pastor and our first lady, Lord God. Bless our deacons and bless our music of ministry, our poetry, our psalmist, Lord God. Bless her from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. And bless all of those who need prayer this morning, who needs a blessing. Bless those who are hurting, Lord God. Bless those who need a healing, Lord God. We ask, bless Apostle Mother Wiggins, Lord God, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, Lord God. Continue to let your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, dying on the cross for our sins, Lord God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go. We thank you for everything, Lord God. We thank you for loving on sinners like us, Lord God. Forgive us of our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. Let your will be done, and let everything that is said this morning be done in love. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Luke 23, verse 34, and it says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And my title for this message is Deal Kindly with an Erring One. Amen. Praise God. And that word, erring, let's see. Praise God. It means to be mistaken or incorrect, make a mistake. The judge had erring in ruling, erring, that the evidence was inadmissible. Amen. Praise God. So at this time, I want to say that my message is divided into three parts. And number one is the worst moment in history. So whatever other tragedies the world has witnessed, none even closely approximate this ghastly scene. The best man who ever lived has killed the best man who ever lived was killed like a common criminal. When Clovis, king of the Franks, was converted to Christianity, he still had many cruel ideas that needed refining. And one day, as he heard someone reading the story of how Jesus was crucified, he raised his sword and said, "If I and my Frankish army had been there, they would not have done that to him." Men who were not even worthy to be in the same world with Jesus dared to condemn him. Others, equally sinful, implemented the decision and executed him. What a calculus of justice. Number two, God overrules human ignorance and sin. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Great is the mystery of godliness." 1 Timothy 3 and 16. How true. Now, nowhere is this better illustrated than when God took the crudest thing humankind ever did and channeled it into his redemptive purpose. Centuries earlier, one of Israel's greatest prophets said concerning the coming suffering servant in Isaiah 53 and 10, pleased the Lord to bruise him. This certainly does not mean that God took delight in Jesus' suffering. Rather, it means that Jesus' death had God's approval because it was in accordance with his eternal will. The Savior who died on Calvary in history was slain in the heart of God from the foundation of the world. God took human hatred and used it to demonstrate divine love. Praise be to God. He is in the process of doing this even today. Jesus has been paradoxically called the one who was far too good to be saved. But he is also the one who did something by dying on Calvary's hill, that fateful. Now, there were three deaths and three kinds of deaths. One man died in sin because he rejected divine love. The other thief died pardoned from sin because at the last hour he pleaded for mercy. The one on the middle cross died for sin because he was the only one who could. Death came to the unrepentant sinner. As one writer put it, like the world's last wind, dark and sterile and hopeless. To Jesus' death came in a sudden shaft of light as the sun striking its way to etch out the shadows during those 6 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. His eyes revealed a great, even though a brooding glory, few people could see the light of that glory. But it was there. The sinless was made sin in order that sinners might be made sinless. And number three, but this is not universalism. Now let's remember what the gospel teaches. For people to be saved, they must repent of their sins and place their faith in the Savior. Thus, when Jesus cried to the Father with an exhortation to forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was not calling on God to save these people against their will. As omnipotent as our God is, he has limited himself by humankind free will. God's love for the world does not mean that he will save the world. It only means that he has provided the way in which the world can be saved. What is forgiveness? In the sense of salvation, it is an action that releases us from the guilt and consequences of our unrighteous acts and attitudes. This required repentance part of those who wish to be forgiven. Paul used the word justification to describe the state of those who have begun Christian life. These individuals have been pardoned from the guilt of their unregenerated hearts. Since the primary meaning of the word forgive is to remove, we often speak of being justified once when we began the Christian life, but our sins are forgiven regularly as we pray to God and ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness removes the sin that mars our daily fellowship with him. This may be, in a sense, an oversimplification, but basically, this is the distinction between forgiveness and justification. Forgiveness can mean something else. It can be a forthgiving. It could be for the giving, excuse me, of oneself in renewed feelings of friendliness and renewed activity of friendly purpose. In this sense, one seeks to restore soul union between the one who wronged and the one who was wronged. This is why we must forgive to understand God's forgiveness. Those who have never forgiven another do not truly understand what takes place when God, for Christ's sake, forgives them. Jesus presented God as a father who meets the prodigal son with the offer of forgiveness. He practiced this in his ministry many times. Thus, when Jesus asked God to forgive them, he was doing the very thing he taught his followers to do. Love your enemies and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5:44. Implicit in the prayer from the cross was the request that God would lead his enemies to be sorry for this terrible sin, sorry enough to repent and turn to the Savior. It is possible that some of the very people who had a part in the crucifixion later accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. To God be the glory. And my conclusion is, do you have a forgiving spirit? General Ortegoth is reported to have heard John Wesley preach a sermon on forgiveness. The general said, "I can never forgive." Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." 19th century preacher Thomas D. Witt Talmage said concerning those who fail to show compassion and forgiveness, "I lay down as a rule without any exception that those people who have the most faults themselves are the most merciless in their watching of others. From the scalp of the head up to the soles of the feet, they are full of jealousness and hypercriticism. They find their lives hunting for muskrats and mud turtles instead of hunting for Rocky Mountains creatures and soaring eagles. Deal kindly with an erring one. Oh, do not thou forget, however darkly stained by sin, he is thy brother yet. Forget not, often thou hast sinned, and sinful yet must be. Deal kindly with the erring one, as God has dealt with thee." Julia Abigail Fletcher. One further word needs to be said about forgiveness. Are you a forgiving person? One becomes a Christian only by experiencing the forgiveness of God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross in atonement and perfected in his resurrection from the grave. The prayer of Jesus was not for God to wink at the sin of ignorance, nor was it a request for a blanket pardon for the sin of his murderers. Neither was it a request for God to thrust forgiveness on those who did not want it. His prayer was a request that condemnation of those who killed him be held in abstinence until they might know the true meaning of what they were doing and repent. God has done that for you if you have not yet been saved. He has not canceled the consequences of your guilt, but he has postponed the consequences so that you might have time to receive Christ as your Savior. Will you do it today, right now, in Jesus' name? And I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And my benediction is, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. I'm sorry that I went over into your time, Barbara. So now, okay, at this time, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry, and we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Thank you. Forgiveness. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Hilda. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you?
I'm blessed, thank you. Praise be to God.
I enjoyed your message this morning.
Thank you. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Forgiveness, forgiveness.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
If you can mute your phone for a minute, I'm getting a little echo.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I will be reading one of my favorite poems from my book, The Profundity of God, A Spiritual Anthology in Poetry. It's entitled, Will You Trust Me? If you do not get the things you hope for, if someone you love or you have a disease that there is no cure for, when there is no food, no job, no money for clothes, no friend, when you look around and cannot see the end of this suffering, your heartache, your pain, the abuse, the blood, will you trust me to bring you out of whatever you're going through? Will you still pray to me? Will you love me and seek my face? Will you spread my word still and continue to believe in and live in my grace. If things do not work out according to your plan, I ask you, my child, my friend, will you trust me? Will you hold my hand? When all seems bleak, desperate, black and blue, looking lost and forlorn, then too, will you trust me or will you trust me not? Turn back. I'm sorry. Will you trust me? Will you trust me not and turn back? Tell the truth now. Go on. You can say the right thing. Just some words from your mouth. You know what they are. But do I still have what really, truly counts? That's your heart. Remember, I am God. I know your story's outcome before it even starts. I wrote the book, read the last page. I know that in the end, we win. Do you have the faith to keep the faith within? Dearest child, only trust and obey. Believe and you will receive. That's Almighty God's magnificent decree. And it is so. And I don't have a scripture in the book, but I added this. Isaiah 57:13 from the King James Version, and it says, when thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And the word of the Lord is already blessed. Amen. Amen.
Awesome.
Oh, God bless you, woman. Thank you.
Wow. No wonder it's your favorite.
One of my favorites.
One of your favorites.
Yes.
Wow.
One of my favorites.
God be the glory. I love this scripture.
Thank you so much.
Well, I don't know what. Here we go again. Another Saturday morning. But like I say, I give our speakers a 15-minute grace period, and I will play music until, after that he doesn't show up. Then I will end the program because it doesn't make sense to sit here and play music for an hour. That doesn't make any sense at all. So I will play a selection while we're waiting on our speaker for this morning. Praise God.
Somebody lift your hand. We celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's awesome, say it. Come on and lift your voice. The whole world. Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify. You know he's awesome. Say it.
Unfortunately, Pastor Kathy is not going to be with us this morning, so I'm just going to play another selection, and at that time, I will close out the program for this morning. Amen? Unless you have something that you want to talk about, Sister Barbara?
No, ma'am, that's good. I have an appointment at 12, so that's excellent.
Praise God. So God bless you for showing up in the spirit. And, of course, always, you know how much I love you and appreciate you. So thank you. And have a wonderful day. It's kind of windy
you
out
too.
There.
Stay safe.
I will. You do the same.
Thank you.
Praise God. And on that note, we are going to leave out on every praise.
Amen.
Let me hear the worshipers. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every word of worship.
worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Thank you for tuning in, and if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.